all of your models are absolutely wrong. Power law model, absolutely stupid idea, terrible idea, okay? The fact that somebody thinks we're gonna see diminishing returns when Bitcoin's only been adopted by 0.1% of the world, and they're gonna extrapolate this data out into the next 15 years, it's a lunatic idea, it's a crazy idea, it's never gonna happen, okay? Diminishing returns, such a meme. Bitcoin volatility decreasing, also a meme. It's gonna shoot much higher in the future, much faster than most people expect. Again, it's somebody's gonna yell fire in the movie theater one day, and we've got $300 trillion global debt market that's gonna try to squeeze into the 2 million Bitcoin sitting on exchanges. I mean, that just screams fireworks, volatility, unpredictability, and it screams all of your models are wrong and broken. And to model the, you know, the past 15 years of Bitcoin's life when 0.1% of the world adopted it, and there was an increase in amount of supply on exchanges, that's the big one. That's the kicker. People are assuming that we're gonna have increasing amount of supply on exchanges and increasing amount of Bitcoin sold in the future. It's wrong, okay? The data already changed in 2020.
Now, I'm gonna put you on the spot here, Luke, because bing bong, I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast with my man, Luke Mikic here. And Luke, we've seen three companies implement the MicroStrategy strategy by putting Bitcoin on their reserve balance sheet. We've seen Metaplanet, Semler Scientific, and DeFi Technologies. And now we've even seen Michael Dell tweet about Bitcoin. So will Dell putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet bring Bitcoin to the $64 million Bitcoin?
Well, I always get a lot of questions about my $64 million Bitcoin price prediction by the year 2030. And I think what we've seen in the past 2 to 3 months is maybe a little bit of proof that things are different post 2020. And we've seen those three companies that you mentioned put Bitcoin on the balance sheet in the past 3 months. So Metaplanet has bought $10 million worth of Bitcoin and they've continued buying Bitcoin. And just this week, they actually said they're going to be raising debt and speculative attacking the Japanese yen and going out there and buying Bitcoin. Okay. And we also, obviously they're a smaller company. Some people will say to me, Luke, you can't look at DeFi Technologies and Metaplanet buying $6 million and $10 million worth of Bitcoin. They're tiny companies. It doesn't matter. But I will raise you guys, and I would love to point to Semler Scientific, $223 million of market cap. They're an enormous company that bought $40 million worth of Bitcoin, and they came out recently and said they're going to issue $150 million of debt to go out there and buy Bitcoin. Okay, so again, all of this has happened in the past 2 to 3 months. I think a lot of us were waiting for MicroStrategy copycats to come into the Bitcoin space for the past 4 years. I myself was shocked to find that it has taken us 4 years to really see an uptick in the number of companies getting into the space in a big way. But I think they're coming. We're kind of seeing this exponential change. I think 2024 is a really interesting year. And I think things are happening really, really rapidly. And I think a lot of people aren't seeing all of this exponential change that has happened since 2020. And they've still got their linear goggles on. They're still looking at these power law models. And I think like the USD price of Bitcoin over the past 4 years is the biggest head fake in financial markets history. Okay. I do not think that the price of Bitcoin in the past 4 years has represented what the underlying fundamentals of Bitcoin have done, okay? Hash rate continued pumping, you know, to all-time highs. A lot of people talk about this idea of a Bitcoin hash rate adjusted price. And people say typically the price of Bitcoin follows the hash rate. And there's a few interesting names in the space, like Max Kaiser and another chap who does some live streams on YouTube whose name is escaping me right now. But they actually say the price of Bitcoin should be between like $200,000 and $350,000 today based upon what the hash rate has done over the past 2 years. Okay, again, I could talk about all of the bullish catalysts for hours and hours. I'm going to pause there and maybe we can get into Michael Dell a little bit more in a second.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I don't know how much you know about Dell, but Dell is like one of the biggest technology companies there is. It was the Apple before Apple. So I think Michael Dell tweeting about Bitcoin is absolutely astronomical. I mean, I grew up in Austin. Michael Dell was, kind of running that town before Austin is now what Austin is. And I think, you know, that Bitcoin influence in Austin might have something to do with what Dell is experiencing right now. Maybe some Bitcoiners have infiltrated that company, but I think it's really interesting. And, you know, you bring up Michael Saylor, right? I mean, I think Michael Saylor's one of one, truly is. He's a billionaire that really went all into Bitcoin and really shorted the US dollar. But he has a lot of billionaire buddies. And I think Michael Dell is one of those buddies who can now see the light. I mean, he's a technology guy, right? He's one of the first to get into it. So that's where I think, you know, Michael Dell has the advantage over a company like maybe, say, Apple, because, you know, Apple started with Steve Jobs and everything. And obviously, rest in peace to Steve Jobs. But that's where I think Dell is going. I think, you know, they're going to start to implement Bitcoin in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, we saw T-Mobile, we talked about it in our live stream, implement Bitcoin mining. So I think this is all coming, and it's just a matter of time. And I think the year of 2024 is the year of institutional adoption here, where we're going to see a lot more companies put it on there. So, you know, I just can't undermine how big this is for Dell to come in and start tweeting about Bitcoin. Now, I'm going to be interested to see, you know, what comes out of it. Maybe it's just all speculation, but I do think that, you know, because we've seen a lot of little guys come in, we've seen their stock prices double and triple simply by announcing this, that it's just a matter of time before a big dog comes and does it like Dell, and you see the benefits.
Yeah, so Dell is a really, really interesting one, and I love that you brought it up because it does relate to the maths that we're going to go through maybe at the end of today's video, looking at how we could see a $64 million Bitcoin in today's dollars before hyperinflation. We're going to get there, but we have to discuss Dell. Michael Dell is the 10th richest man in the world. Okay, he's seriously wealthy. And like you said, like Dell Technologies was the original Apple. Like they are one of the mega behemoth technology companies in the world. And what's really interesting about Dell is their stock price has already been going parabolic this year. Their stock price isn't quite as good as Nvidia, but they are one of the better performing stocks over the past 12 to 18 months. So, I mean, I'm sure I can throw a chart up on screen after the fact. And as you can see, they've gone absolutely parabolic, which is really interesting. And what's even more interesting is the fact that Michael Dell has been selling hundreds of millions of dollars of his own stock over the past 6 to 12 months, which is really interesting. I've seen a few people on Twitter say, hang on a minute, over the past, you know, 6 to 12 months, Michael Dell has been selling a lot of his own stock. What's he been buying? And a couple of people have drawn the dots and said, is Michael Dell Mr. 100, which for those who don't know, is an anonymous Bitcoin whale. I believe they're the 11th largest Bitcoin whale in the entire world today. They've actually bought something like 60 to 70,000 Bitcoin, and they've only really started buying over the past 18 months. So it was actually around the time that BlackRock initially filed or announced they were going to do a Bitcoin ETF in mid-2023. That was around when Mr. 100 started buying. Maybe it was a little bit earlier than that. So some people have said, myself included, hey, is Jeff Bezos Mr. 100? He sold $6 billion of Amazon stock in 2023 and he's partying with the GigaChad Michael Saylor on his private yacht. Is he Mr. 100? And now a few other people have said, hang on a minute, what if Michael Dell, the world's 10th richest man, what if he's Mr. 100? He's been selling a lot of stocks. I think there's an argument there. I mean, again, maybe Michael Dell is just selling hundreds of millions of dollars of stock because the stock is going parabolic. He's just taking some profits. So again, Occam's razor, that could be the simplest explanation for this one. But a lot of other people have said, hey, you know, he's been tweeting a lot about Bitcoin recently. He's been tweeting the Cookie Monster Bitcoin meme. He's been retweeting Michael Saylor saying that Bitcoin is, you know, absolute digital scarcity or something like that. So again, I think it's really, really interesting. And I think if Michael Dell employed a Bitcoin strategy, I think his stock price would have to go up, okay? And I think that this is going to get the attention of the biggest regulators in the world, okay? I don't think the regulators care about Metaplanet or DeFi technologies. I don't think they're paying attention to companies just buying, you know, $5 million worth of Bitcoin, okay? Yes, it's a big buy as well. Let's not dismiss these buys just because they're $10 million. I believe the market cap of Metaplanet before it actually bought its initial $6 million worth of Bitcoin, I think their market cap was less than $20 million. So more than that initial Bitcoin buy was like 20 to 30% of the size of their market cap. So massive, really, really big. But I don't think the regulators care about that. But I would have to think that they would have to be at least interested in Michael Dell, Dell Technologies, which has, you know, what was it, $102 billion market cap? That was the figure we discussed in our live stream earlier in the week, looking at Michael Dell. I mean, that's a massive company. I think the regulators would have to start looking at it if they weren't in on it. And if they didn't have some sort of agreement with Michael Saylor for him to help America accumulate as much Bitcoin as they possibly can. That's potentially another rabbit hole we can go down, but I'm just going to pause there and let you back in, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, Dell, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at a lot of things that you were lining out there. So in the past year, Dell's stock price is up 173%. And the largest shareholder of Dell's stock was Michael Dell himself with over 58% of that. So him selling it down, you know, maybe you're right. He could have just been trimming some off the top. You know, Dell has been a major company. It's been absolutely ripping. But, you know, rich guys like that, you know, he's making enough money as it is. He's probably reinvesting it somewhere. So what is he doing with that money? It very well could be buying Bitcoin and, you know, going on it that way. But, you know, MicroStrategy, its market cap is $26.3 billion currently. Dell's is four times that. And that's, you know, the big difference here is that MicroStrategy grew to $26.2 billion after implementing the Bitcoin strategy that they have, right? And so Dell is already a giant behemoth. So who are they going after, right? I mean, the only other tech giant that they got to go after at this point is Apple, right? I mean, you know, maybe Apple's hit recent all-time highs, but it's also been knocked off the throne by NVIDIA. So, I mean, I think it's like, you know, kind of some tech wars going on here where it is pretty interesting. But I think, you know, who's going to understand Bitcoin the most? It's probably going to be technology and computer guys, right? And I mean, that's exactly what Michael Dell is. So, I mean, I think with all this being said and Michael Saylor's influence here, more people are, and more companies, more CEOs, they're all going to start implementing a Bitcoin strategy. And I think like you're 100% right. This might be a huge tipping point. And especially for the regulators too. I wonder whether you think that this could be a positive or potentially a negative if we see, you know, maybe Michael Dell implement this because of just, you know, the way that Bitcoin is being spoken about now. It's not only, you know, just within Gary Gensler or, you know, some, you know, Elizabeth Warren speaking negative. We now have like presidential candidates talking about Bitcoin and like crypto regulations. You know, obviously Donald Trump and all these others. So do you view it as a positive for potential regulation? Like, do you think that Dell implementing is just so big that there's no way that could come down hard on Bitcoin because of that? Are you looking for the best way to store your seed phrase? Well, I've got it for you. It's Stampseed. They've got the number one punch place where you can order a full-on package where they've got every single thing. They've got all the letters. You could just get it in there. And they've got this sick hammer, which they've engineered to make it so easy for you to punch in that titanium steel plate and store your seed phrase in the most secure way possible. So go ahead and get your Bitcoin off of these exchanges and use promo code GREENCANDLE for 15% off. They're helping power their show. They've got the Bitcoin logo. You can punch it into your seed phrase as well. If you could see it here, they've got a lot of cool stuff. And now I'm helping empower you to get your Bitcoin off an exchange utilizing Stampseed and storing your seed phrase in the most secure way possible. Now get to it. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, so I'm a big proponent of, you know, Bitcoin accelerationism. I think everything's good for Bitcoin. I think negative regulations in America is just going to drive Hong Kong and, you know, China and America's adversaries to adopt Bitcoin in a really, really, really big way. And I think I loved how you framed it. Is this going to begin the tech wars? Okay. Yes, exactly. Okay. Maybe this can bring us back to this discussion of $64 million Bitcoin. Now, I wrote a wild article in 2021 and I said something has changed fundamentally in Bitcoin's life for the first time ever. Before 2020, there were no Michael Saylors. There were no public companies buying Bitcoin, putting on its balance sheet. There were no superannuation funds like Mass Mutual, which bought $100 million worth of Bitcoin in 2020, December 2020. There was no nation states like Bukele putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet like they did. I said in a 2021 article, this is an inflection point. Something changed in 2020. For the first 11 years of Bitcoin's life, this was epoch number one. This was the part of the technology adoption cycle where none of the big boys, none of the big money were interested in Bitcoin at all. But in 2021, I said, I think 2020 is the inflection point, and I think we're going to reach saturation, or we're going to see Bitcoin hurdle up the steepest part of its adoption curve between 2020 and 2031. Now, a lot of people are going to say, hang on a minute, Luke, you're wrong. None of the masses are adopting Bitcoin. Now, again, that's correct, but Bitcoin has different adoption curves. I'm looking at Bitcoin, the store of value adoption curve. Bitcoin is going to have different adoption curves. You're going to have an adoption curve for medium of exchange, and this is one that's going to more reflect the masses. How many masses are using Bitcoin? How many users does Bitcoin have? I don't think this adoption curve matters. I think the most important adoption curve is how much of that $900 trillion of money in the world is adopting Bitcoin. And what are the people who control the majority of that wealth doing with Bitcoin? Are they buying Bitcoin, or are they not interested in Bitcoin? Now, I believe post 2020, all of the big money has been buying Bitcoin. And I actually, so again, I've written that the era of 2009 to 2020, it was dominated by retail speculators. Retail speculators were 99% of the volume. But I think that from 2020 to 2031, I think this era of Bitcoin's adoption life cycle, we dominated by the big money, the institutional money, the really, really big money. So this kind of aligns a little bit with Michael Saylor's recent theory that he put out there earlier this year at Madeira. He said 2024 actually marks the beginning of the digital gold rush with Bitcoin. And he hasn't put any specific numbers on what this means, but he's saying that this era from 2024 to 2034 is going to be radically different to the first 15 years of Bitcoin's life. And the reason Saylor says this is because the launch of the Bitcoin ETFs have unlocked a different kind of buyer. So it's a kind of similar thesis to the one I have. And I simply ran the numbers in 2020. I looked at technological adoption curves. On average, if you look at the adoption curve of the internet, automobiles, and the smartphone, you can get an average. And you can see that on average, it takes around 10 years to go from 0% adoption to 10% adoption. Then an inflection point is reached, something changes, and it takes about the same amount of time to go from 10% adoption to 90% adoption. So that's my mental operating model for Bitcoin's store of value monetization adoption curve. Okay. So again, like, that's been my thesis for 4 years. It hasn't changed. And I think all of these, you know, public companies getting into Bitcoin in 2024 in a big way, in an accelerated timeline, is, I think, you know, proof that things are happening pretty rapidly. And I just don't think the price is backing up the fundamentals of what is happening in Bitcoin. And I don't think any rules and regulations can stop the train that has, in my opinion, left the station.
Yeah, and I agree there. I don't think that there could be any like real bad negative, things when it comes to regulations, when it comes to like store of value, right? I just think that there's obviously been the attack of privacy in the US when it comes to like a lot of these Lightning wallets and everything like that. I think the way that the US is trying to approach it is like, we don't mind you having Bitcoin. It's just, we want to know where it is, and we want to make sure it's like either KYC'd or stored with somebody with the SEC, whether that's BlackRock or one of these ETF products. So I think it'll be interesting to see that, how that develops and plays out. But I, like I said a little bit earlier, I think this is the year or the time of institutional adoption, because, you know, what are you going to hold on a company's balance sheet? Are you going to hold bonds? Are you going to hold, the S&P? Are you going to hold it in cash in a high yield savings or something like that? Like, are you going to do any of these things? No, because you're going to be losing to inflation. You're going to fight a losing battle. And as far as a company's treasury goes, you want to keep that and save that and have that potentially help you out in the long run. And so there's really no better savings technology, especially for an institution, than Bitcoin. And I think that we're just getting to that point, and we're already starting to see it with the small guys who have essentially nothing to lose, right? So I think, you know, if you look at it as like on a country level, right? Like a Metaplanet or a similar scientific or DeFi technologies, company-wise, they're pretty similar to El Salvador, right? Maybe they didn't have as much going on, but they have things that they needed to do to improve. Well, Adele is like, you know, almost like the US at this point, right? It's a giant guy. It's got things to lose, but also like putting a little bit on the balance sheet would greatly benefit it over the long period of time. And so that's why I think, you know, because of what they have to gain, I just see it as like a no-brainer. And I think that, you know, with as big as Dell is, you know, it's big enough where it could essentially, you know, afford to make a little bit of a mistake on this and not go completely under if they decide to do that. And so that's where I think that this is going, is that, you know, the institutional adoption's coming, and that's going to be a big aspect of it. But you know, I lined up about the custodians. We mentioned a little bit at the beginning about the paper attack of Bitcoin. So, you know, do you see that as a potential fallout for what's going on here? Is that, you know, maybe the accounting services, or maybe, you know, the SEC and all these regulators, maybe they're not quite up to par and able to, you know, use forensic accounting tools in order to track, is this Bitcoin actually being bought? Obviously, I don't think it's going to be as drastic as like the FTX scenario, but I still think there's a chance. Do you agree with me on that? Or do you think I'm just blowing hot air at this point?
Oh, no. We're going to see an FTX 2.0. It's going to be absolutely massive. I don't know when it happens, but I don't want to name names, but you're going to see a massive institution bigger than FTX blow up in the future. I don't know whether this is going to be Coinbase. I don't know whether this is going to be BlackRock. I don't have any intelligence on you know, what they're doing and whether they are messing around with paper Bitcoin. I hear a lot of people who are smarter than me in the space say, oh, but no, they're held to higher regulations. They're held to higher standards than FTX, just this, you know, offshore bank in the Bahamas. No, they can't be doing that. But I mean, we heard all the same things about BlockFi. Oh, BlockFi is an American regulated institution. They have to be doing things the safe way. You know, all of the big names in Bitcoin were partnered up with BlockFi. You know, they looked safe, they looked trustworthy, but they weren't. So again, I don't know who that entity is going to be, but we are going to see paper Bitcoin blown up in the future. We're going to see a bank blown up by paper Bitcoin. It could be a multi-$100 billion bank in the future when we're on a Bitcoin standard. Like, I think that we're going to see bank runs in the future on a Bitcoin standard. We're going to see digital bank runs. We're going to see a lot bigger blow-ups than what we saw in FTX. On the topic of paper Bitcoin, 100%. It's human greed. If somebody can corrupt the money supply and print free money for themselves, they will do it and they will try it. And I think it's going to take many decades on a Bitcoin standard before we really kind of relearn, throw out a lot of the old behaviors that, you know, our civilization has kind of accrued over the past 400 years of fiat. Okay, we've lived on a fiat standard we've had central banking for 400 years. So we've had the Bank of England popped up in the early 1600s. But even for the past 5,000 years, we've largely used a gold standard. But we've always had emperors and kings who had the ability to change the money supply, whether that was clipping the edges of gold coins or, you know, printing glass beads and taking that to Africa and diluting that money supply. We've always had the ability to attack or change the money supply. So I think, like, we've developed this instinct around money for thousands of years. So I think it's going to take multiple decades of being locked in on a Bitcoin standard before banks and our civilization realizes, hang on a minute, maybe it's just best we don't F with the money supply. Might take a while, but 100% agree, we're going to see some big blow-ups.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're right on that. It's just like a matter of time, and it's unfortunate. I think, like, it'll be the greed, and I think, you know, it's partially because I think the low barrier of entry, too, with, like, the crypto tokens and everything like that. And just, you know, the fault of people just trusting too much, I think, at this point. So I think it'll be interesting. But, I want to get back to the institutional adoption, right? Because, you know, we were talking about Dell, obviously, as a behemoth. And that's kind of been like the whole center of the conversation. But, you know, from the Metaplanet, the DeFi, and, you know, the smaller guys, why do you think that's a big deal? Because, you know, that's essentially like, I don't know, comparing like me and you to maybe Michael Dell buying Bitcoin at this point, right? So, you know, why do you say that is such a big deal, and you think that should be looked at more? Are you looking for the easiest way to get your Bitcoin off an exchange? Well, I've got it for you. It's Foundation Devices. They've got the number one hardware wallet in the Passport. They've even got a concierge service that can help you get your Bitcoin off an exchange within 1 hour private onboarding session. And they've got a great app too, which will give you extremely, extremely, extremely private features on that app, so you can use Bitcoin in the most secure way possible. So I've been working hard trying to get sponsors to help you get your Bitcoin off an exchange, and I found it with Foundation. And you can store your seed phrase with a stamp seed punch plate as well. So pair all those together, use promo code GreenCandle at foundation.xyz, and you'll get $10 off your entire order. All right, that's enough for me. Back to the show.
It's just simple math. There's just not enough Bitcoin on exchanges for everyone to do it. There's 2 million Bitcoin exchanges. There's 58,000 public companies. There's 2,000 billionaires, 60 million millionaires. We run through the numbers all the time. And it's just simply not enough Bitcoin for everybody to want to do that. And the fact that Metaplanet and, you know, Semler Scientific, that's a big, big deal. For them to buy $40 million of Bitcoin with nearly pretty much all of their cash reserves and say that they're going to issue $150 million of stock to buy more Bitcoin, that's massive. Like that is big. That is really, really big. But it's the conviction from the Metaplanets and the DeFi technologies. Yes, they've only bought $6 million and $10 million worth of Bitcoin, but they're large, like 20 to 30% chunks of their market cap, okay? They're big bets. And it's that conviction that for me is really interesting. And that's what's gonna actually raise eyebrows. People in the institutional world, they're gonna yawn and they say, oh, some idiot just bought $6 million worth of Bitcoin. What an idiot. Who cares? What's his company, DeFi Technologies in Canada or Metaplanet? Just a Japanese company called Metaplanet. I don't care. But there's going to be some people who are actually switched on who do more than 30 seconds of cursory research for themselves and they just Google the market cap. What is the market cap of Metaplanet? Oh, it's only 15 million. They just bought $7 million worth of Bitcoin. That's interesting. And I think there's going to be some people who do the math. And they say they're pretty big bets for those small companies. And they're going to say, what do they know? Maybe that crazy man, Michael Saylor, who just, you know, he just 25x'd the market cap of MicroStrategy in the past 4 years. Maybe he was onto something. Because all of a sudden, Michael Saylor is not alone, okay? It's been very easy for a lot of these billionaires and public companies to dismiss Saylor. And they say, oh, it's just one crazy billionaire who lost $6 billion in a day way back in the year 2000 when the tech bubble crashed. He's just doing a crazy bet or a crazy publicity stunt to bring his stock price back from the dead and he's going to exit pump. Like that's the common consensus for a lot of clowns and goons in the, you know, the billionaire space and the tech space and the institutional space. But now that we have these other companies, even though they're small, the fact that they're coming in size with conviction, that for me, that's alarm bells. That is somebody screaming fire in the movie theater, okay? There are very small doors in the movie theater, and if that puppy's packed, what you're going to see is like, you know, once that toothpaste is out of the tube, she's out, baby, and it is on. And there's only 2 million Bitcoin sitting on exchanges. So I really think the race is on. I love Saylor's framing of this 10-year digital gold rush. That's what we're in right now. The ETFs went live January 2024. I think we're in a 10-year digital gold rush. I've been looking at the number of Bitcoin on exchanges. I've been screaming about it since 2021. I was a nutcase in 2021 when I wrote that article. And I said, look, something's changed. For the past 18 months, we've seen coins leave exchanges. I'm saying, hey, I'm coming out there. I'm early. But is this data suggesting that something's changed? Are we witnessing different buyers adopt Bitcoin? And since then, we've got now 4.5 years of data showing that coins have been leaving exchanges and the big money continues to buy Bitcoin. So I don't know the original source of that question, Brandon, but I'm pretty bullish by institutional adoption. And I think it is the conviction of these Metaplanets, Semler Scientifics, that's really, really piquing the interest of people like Michael Dell. And I would have to guess, just guessing, but I would have to guess that Jeff Bezos is in Bitcoin. You know, Mark Zuckerberg has a goat called Bitcoin and Max. So again, I think, man, I think the next couple of years are going to be really spicy.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. But I'm curious, what do you think is more important or more, I guess, more of a going to be a driver here in the next few years? Do you think it's going to be, you know, we've obviously seen Milei kind of come up and talk about Bitcoin and obviously El Salvador, right? Do you think that it's going to be more country adoption or more institutional adoption that's going to be the real driver in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, so that is actually a really, really good question. It's a really difficult one. I personally think it's going to be more institutional led. I think it's more likely you're going to see more public companies really get into the space. This trend that we're witnessing in early 2024, I'm going to go on record and I'm going to be absolutely shocked if we do not see another public company do the same thing that MicroStrategy, Metaplanet, Semler Scientific, and DeFi Technologies has done in the past 3 months, and that is buy tens of millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin, okay? So again, I think we're going to see another one of those in the next 3 months. Big call, big bet. I don't do short-term price predictions.